This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 29th of July, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I say good morning to my producer and thank you for playing that track. I tell him just randomize it, play some Make It Bahamian. And what a beautiful track to start the week with. I Believe in You. I can find out what the name of that is in a minute, but I love it. I love it. I love it. There's lots to talk about today. Tons to talk about today. Of course, it is Monday, 29th of July, which means we are but 2 days away from Emancipation Day. Of course, the Emancipation Day holiday in the Bahamas is celebrated on the first Monday in August. So we will be celebrating the public holiday on the 5th, Monday, the 5th of August. But Thursday the 1st marks Emancipation Day. And I'm excited. I'm, of course, excited because the Hannah Hasty Tynes family reunion starts on Thursday the 1st of August. And for me, that's going to be a wonderful way to start emancipation celebrations by connecting with family and lineage and legacy and generational wealth, not just money, but history, archives, memories, stories, connections. And I hope that everyone uses this emancipation holiday to connect with family, loved ones, stories, legacies, connection. I want to say thank you to Mr. K. Pinder for not just the bundle of Gnepps he gave me, but to show me his majestic Gnepp tree. I want to say thank you, sir. The Gnepp lemonade is coming soon. Now, we've got lots to talk about this morning. Three road crashes, I think three traffic fatalities in today's Tribune. That's the headline. Three dead in road crashes. We got stories about the union this morning. BUT chief, was MOU worth it? Family Island property prices rising due to vibrant second home market is interesting discussion. So I don't know. Joining me this morning is Mr. C.A. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning. How are you doing, Erin?
I am good, good, good. There's lots to talk about. There's a storm watch in today's Tribune. I haven't found it yet in The Guardian, but in today's Tribune, there is a storm watch notice. Let me find it. I think it's very important. Too early to say, but careful watch on possible storm. Local weather forecasters are keeping a close eye on a tropical disturbance in the central tropical Atlantic, saying it's too early to tell whether the system would affect the country. According to the National Hurricane Center, the disturbance has a 40% chance of developing over the next 7 days and could strengthen into a tropical depression as it nears the Lesser Antilles. The weather disturbance prompted the Disaster Risk Management Authority to issue an advisory on Facebook over the weekend, warning residents to prepare in case the system develops. Very important notice. Everybody, we are on Storm Watch, which means that we're going to be tuning in. Even if we're not regular radio listeners, we know that during the breaks between shows is typically a weather report. If we are all collectively watching storms, so get your radio primed up, pay attention to the news. I just want to make this note here when the story says the weather disturbance prompted the DRM to issue an advisory on Facebook. Why Facebook, DRM? Why Facebook? Stop. For instance, Mr. Newry, you know, I do a lot of research for the shows. So I'm on social media all the time looking for stories, looking for links, looking for context, right? Content and context. So there's this phenomenon on Facebook, right? One of the news agencies, I get a notification from them, and the notification will say posted 3 minutes ago. In fact, I got one that said breaking news, right? So all you see is the breaking news, and it posted 2 minutes ago. But when I go to the story, when I click on the notification, the story was actually posted 6 days ago. The story was posted 6 days ago. Social media cannot be your primary point of dissemination. DRM must have a website. It must have a website that is maintained real time, that citizens know that they can go to and trust the accuracy of the information posted. It is at this point an embarrassment that government agencies continue to use social media as their primary source or their primary point of dissemination of information. Now, I appreciate all the young people within the ministries attempting to broaden the scope to capture audience, but Facebook and TikTok and Instagram cannot be your primary sources of disseminating information. For instance, Royal Bahamas Police Force, when I go to your website so that I can ensure that the news that I'm carrying has been accurately reflected in the newspaper, right, that I'm reading from, when I go to the missing persons link on your website, it takes you nowhere. It certainly doesn't take you to a missing persons page on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. But regularly, I see missing persons flyers being shared across social media. It seems as if Twitter is the primary point of disseminating information for the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Yes. Why not the actual Royal Bahamas Police Force website? This is how we determine accuracy and validity of information. I don't want to go to the Royal Bahamas Police Force's Facebook page for news. I want to go to the Royal Bahamas Police Force's page for news. It's also important that when you upload news on a social media site, that you immediately or simultaneously upload it on your primary site. Why should the news be posted on Facebook and Instagram before it's posted on the Royal Bahamas Police Force's website? This is troubling because it speaks to a dysfunction in the system. And it speaks to a dereliction by those who are responsible for managing said system. So once again, let's all keep our radios polished and ensure that we are staying in touch with the latest and most accurate news about the upcoming or current weather systems. Mr. Newry, did you watch the opening of the Paris Olympics?
No, like snippets, but I need to sit back and enjoy and compare. But I did not get to enjoy it like people said I should. So hopefully, soon.
That was interesting. People said you didn't get to enjoy it like you should.
Yeah, you're supposed to sit down and seize it to be able. See, one of the issues I had is the Bahamas came too early. Because I was rushing home to see the Bahamas come in.
They must have came in on Western Air.
Apparently, Bahamas Tower B. And all this time I thought the Bahamas Tower T.
Like the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is our total name.
Yeah, but the Bahamas is our name. They always stretch in the capital T. Right. Yeah. So I did not anticipate Bahamas.
You know what I didn't?
Come under B.
You know what I didn't anticipate? So I think it was I saw Gabon. Gabon was on a boat by themselves. Is about 12, maybe 7 or 12 of them. It looked like a tugboat. Small little boat in the water. But when I saw the Bahamas, like in the replay, because Gabon come after B, but not after T, The Bahamas was on a boat with a number of other countries.
Yes.
I thought I was, let me tell you the disappointment I felt in that moment. Like, sunk to the bottom of my heart. This is a 51st independence celebration. Last year, we named sloop sailing as our national sport. Paris decides they're going to have their opening ceremony on the Seine. Why is it that the Bahamas did not bring a sloop up so the team Bahamas could travel on a sloop up the Seine or down the Seine or whatever reason they direction they's going in? Why we didn't have our athletes on a sloop since you could have brought your own boat?
You could have brought your own boat?
Apparently.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Gabon brought a tugboat. I mean, if the tugboat is the best boat they have and they brought it, for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for them, except if they've diverted from local resources and now the Defense Force can't patrol whatever the lake, right? They can't patrol the little lake because they ain't got their boat. But the point is, what would have been a spectacular splash, pun intended, for the Bahamas, is if when you saw a team, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, they were on a sloop. And what if they were on the sloop that won the Gombe Cup?
That's too spoiled. Yeah, send down a couple sloops.
Same couple, but make them all sloops.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Right, and I think we missed an opportunity.
You have big ideas. You look at the Bahamas as if we are a big country. Not necessarily in size. I talk about it in terms of ideas and concepts and doing things, like spectacular things. Like, you make it seem like we can do spectacular things.
Because I could see that.
You could see it?
I see that within us. I don't understand why other Bahamians don't see the greatness within us, the potential for greatness within us. That would have been the thing. We would have won the, let me tell you something, we would have won the Olympics if when everybody turned on their TV, they saw the Commonwealth of the Bahamas sailing up the Seine in their sloop. We'd had all kind of jokes about it. This is neo-colonialism. We come to capture everything. We come to take everything, every medal. They can say, Bahamas, y'all ain't even in that competition. We say, don't worry, we got somebody. We have, you see, BOC knew what they was doing. We got a reserve for every team, every discipline we competing in, and we have a reserve for every discipline we not competing in. Now, on a text that says, good morning, many older owners do not have Facebook, so social media or online is unacceptable as the only form of dissemination of important public announcements. Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Another point about the Olympics, and I can get to this again on Friday, Sports Friday. Did you know that breakdancing was a category in the Olympics this year?
No, I did not know breakdance was a category this year. I didn't acknowledge that as a sport.
Very few people knew that breakdancing was included in this year's Olympics, right?
Mm.
Bahamas would have mashed up breakdancing.
At least give us a chance and opportunity to do it.
Yeah. See, so when we had Dr. Campbell on, it's unfortunate that it was such a short amount of time. And we got caught within the dynamics of the specific issue at the root of his call for the resignation of the entire Olympic Committee. I would offer that there is a valid critique of the BOC needed, right? Or that sits on the table. Why is it we didn't know that breakdancing was an option this year? Did the BOC contact any of the local dance schools? They just had an amazing event a month and a half ago. I think Shirley Bass Hall Dance Academy did a forum where they had dance teachers come in and give presentations. It was fantastic. We possibly could have had a team in breakdancing. See, like, I won't crack a joke, right? Like, I won't crack a joke and say every morning, when you drive in through town and you see all of these people in a state of desperation, they now turn to panhandling or begging for money in the absence of social security support, right, by the state. We got a whole breakdancing team right there. Mm. What I see them doing in the road to avoid getting hit by car, We could have had a team. That's why you called for the resignation of the Bahamas Olympic Committee, because it seems that they lack empathy, initiative, passion, imagination, and a real desire to include as many Bahamians as possible in the Olympic realm. That's the reason why. Anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. I heard that there was an interesting conversation on Morning Blend about the opening ceremony. There's critique coming out of the Global North in the U.S. accusing the organizers of the opening ceremony of making mockery, of taking this moment to make a mockery of Christianity generally and the Last Supper specifically in their presentation. Historians and cultural stakeholders joined the conversation and pointed out that what viewers were seeing was not a mockery of the Last Supper, but a depiction of the Feast of Dionysus.
Which is funny about that. The Olympics committee said, yes, it was the Last Supper. But historians say, no. We disagree with you, Olympic committee. It's a historic view of the Dionysus.
See, I find this funny, right? Because if that conversation had taken place in the Bahamas, all of us would have said, yeah, we can go with the historians.
Yeah.
Olympic Independence Secretariat?
Yeah.
Y'all ain't really...
Yeah.
We could just side with the historians.
Yeah. Even though the people who presented apologized and said, we thought it was a critical analysis of religion and that, but now...
It could be a critical analysis of religion for real.
Mm.
It created a space, certainly, for critical analysis, and it revealed that many people don't realize that many of the sacred images and moments or concepts attached to their religion may actually be plagiarized from earlier religions, earlier religious and cultural expressions of faith. And that sometimes you upset because you didn't realize that you were the one who was plagiarizing the whole time.
Every religious sect believe they're special. And in their specialness, they get defensive. I have no problems with the Christian community complaining out loud. That's what they're supposed to do. They lobby. And then I have no problem with the historians doing a counter offer. Explanation and said, no, even though people already said that's what it is, we are contrarian, we want to put up a historical spin on it. I'm cool with that, too.
Or did we understand that those who organized it don't have the historic context necessary even to understand the full breadth and scope of what they offered?
Yes.
Right? Put it like that. Yeah. Texter says, Aaron, I also thought about that. Great minds think alike, but who was willing to pay for that? A Bahamian sloop boat carrying our athletes? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you who's willing to pay for it. We got a boy named Lowell J. Mortimore.
The richest Bahamian?
Possibly.
That's what they say.
Possibly. I don't know.
I don't know how.
And he's not required to declare, so we
Required to declare, he wasn't going to declare.
But we don't know that. We can't say that.
All apologies are in declaring.
All we could say is this. If it wasn't gazetted, then it wasn't done.
Okay.
That's all we can say. If it wasn't gazetted, then we have no proof that it was done.
Yeah.
Bang. But Lowell J. Mortimer have a whole shipping company. He could have get one big boat to put one sloop in a container, right?
Two sloops.
And sail that boat across the Atlantic and into French waters. And when it was close enough, lower those two sloops off the big boat into the ocean, and the Bahamian team sail into France on the two sloop.
Mm.
I mean, we got them. And you know who else we have? Mr. Bastian. He know all kind of people in Europe. He know all kind of people.
I think his vineyard in Europe.
And Wendell Jones?
The ambassador?
You know, one who fall asleep? He doesn't fall asleep with plenty of people in Europe. I mean, because in the UN, there's...
I know if you have that type of connection, though.
It's all... I'm just saying, he...
You just know people?
Yeah.
Okay.
We know people, and we could have done it. And this is the thing that you stretch your hand out for favor, for the Olympics, right? Mm. You in the open. And you say, yeah.
That would have been big, though, if we was able to accomplish that.
That would have been huge.
Yeah.
And it would have been a counter-narrative, right? Like, it would have been worthy of critique. Look at these Baidem, the place where Columbus say he first landed, sailing back into Europe to take all the gold back.
We don't want that Columbus narrative stick on us, though.
We can't, we don't want that narrative. Mm. We can never remove Columbus.
We plan to ignore it.
We can't ignore it. What we can do is tell the real story.
We even ain't acknowledging a new story. We plan to ignore it. We even ain't changing the narrative for our benefit. That's the type of Bahamas we have now.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Did you like our uniform? Our entrance outfit?
The sweatshirts?
Yeah, and the sweatpants.
I didn't... what happened was I saw them and then I stopped seeing them.
You just blocked it out.
Yeah, I just thought they were not as creative as potentially. But perhaps we didn't have...
Time?
The type of creative control. Was it time?
I think we ran out of time. And then we bought that from a shop.
Possibly.
What size you with? Large.
Was it a local shop?
I don't even know. That don't even look like a Bohemian design, that. Like a narrative. You know, like how Haiti had a narrative.
We got plenty shops.
How Tokyo had a narrative.
Yeah.
You know.
Palestine had a narrative.
Ours was like, we got this from Miami.
That's our narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, let me rephrase. That's us.
That's just humor. I have no idea where they got the uniform from. It could have been from the Bohemian.
There's a reason why I keep popping the word disclosures in there. I want to say this thing. I've talked about public disclosures and the lack of proper gazetting for several years now on the show. I'm insistent about it. I'm pestering, and it has apparently become annoying to some people. But I want to make this note, right? When addressing the breakdown in procedures specific to the gazetting of public declarations by politicians and senior government officials, I have consistently stated that local media indicates that the last proper gazetting took place in 2011, covering declarations up to 2008, except for election-related declarations. I have said that repeatedly and consistently. So why is it that somebody would be, pun intended, toting news to policymakers, when you toten that news, tote it accurately, please. For I am certain, every time I raise this matter, I make sure to indicate, with the exception of election-related declarations. That note is also made in the May 4th, 2022 article by Candia Dames that exposed this information to us. That information is also included in the same article that exposes or presents to the public excerpts from the OAS 2015 report, indicating that essentially it is unlikely that the Public Disclosure Commission can do their jobs given limited resources available to them at the time to word processor, one fax machine, one telephone, I suspect a rotary phone. So, when y'all go into the gazetting office, make sure y'all tote the proper news, please. And thank you. Mr. Nuri, it's emancipation time.
Yes.
I don't think we're 2 days away. There's not been sufficient public discourse around this important moment.
And who is supposed to lead that discourse?
Okay, so if it's a public holiday, the state should create a space or facilitate civil society actors or other state agencies in preparing programs around Emancipation Day celebration. But if it is a public holiday, then we the people should see ourselves without any prompting the need to herald this day, this moment, this commemoration, not just with public holiday, don't go to work, sleep, go to the beach, have fun, which you're all entitled to do, for goodness sake, it's Emancipation Day, but it should also include social programming, academic programming, even religious programming if you want, around the issue. See, for independence, we had a National Day of Learning with no actual organized activity put forward by the state for people to engage, right? Or it's not coalesce, but to gather around. We could have taken that International Day of Learning and stretched it out to Emancipation Day and facilitated the creation of programs for the general public on Emancipation Day. But here's something that came up for me, Mr. Newry. I wonder, are we emancipated if we still use the master's rules to govern our own lives? Here's a phrase that popped up for me over the weekend. Two women can't live in the same house. We hear that often. As a woman, I hear it often. As a woman who lives with her mother, I hear it often. But I realize that I think that we have taken a phrase, the very real thing that exists, that existed, but we don't understand how it arose, why it was said, what its purpose is, what it attempts to convey. And I think that two women can't live in the same house is not a principle or a rule about mother-daughter relationships. It's not about adulthood, right? Transitioning to adulthood and children needing to have their own homes to have valid authority as an adult. I think two women can't live in the same house is about the polygamous culture brought over with many of our enslaved African ancestors, right, who would have come from communities where men had multiple wives, where polygamy was a real, valid part of life, culture, living. And I think two women can't live in the same house is not about mothers and daughters, but it's about polygamy. Right? And it's not even necessarily you chastising. It is that when you say two women can't live in the house, each woman must have their own compound, own house on the compound. Mm-hmm. Each woman must have their own small space to be in, to rule, to be in charge of. And I think that's what it means. But it raised for me the first question I ask: are we emancipated if we still use the master's rules to govern our lives? For instance, Puerto Rico has just made a ruling, they outlawing all discrimination against natural hairstyles. Now, Puerto Rico is in the middle of the Caribbean, where all of us ancestors of formerly enslaved Africans or of enslaved Africans live. Mm-hmm. So it's almost ridiculous to think that a country like Puerto Rico would have this heavy anti-blackness still rooted in its culture. But it's only like last week or within recent weeks that I think, I saw the story just recently, the Puerto Rico outlawed policies or called policies outlawing natural hair, like afros, cornrows, dreadlocks, African people as discriminatory. There we are in 2024 and black people can't even wear their hair natural.
Interesting.
You can't even wear it the way it naturally comes out of your head. And I wonder if these are things that we are thinking about as we walk the road to emancipation. It is 10:40. Before we go to the break, producer, I do have a note I want to make. So over the weekend, I got a couple of calls, voice notes, and some videos documenting what is believed to be contaminant dumping in Montague Harbor. The videos show a fluid, like an iridescent fluid, floating on the surface. Little small fish like pilchards are dead, sitting, floating on the surface. You could see them, I mean, fish don't breathe, but you could see them struggling at the surface of the water. Witnesses say they observed a boat dumping an unknown fluid into the harbor. But in that particular location, Montague Harbor, Montague Ramp, we will need more evidence to determine specifically how the contaminant entered the water, what the contaminant is, and if it is indeed the contaminant itself that has caused this behavior in the fish. The vendors and passerbys, casual observers on Montague Ramp reached out and asked if I could draw attention to this in the media, and in particular, asking Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries, the fisheries side, to please come down to Montague Harbor as soon as possible in an attempt to gather any samples that may still remain in the water. I take this moment to also ask the sailing club on the immediately on the east side of the ramp to make their cameras available so that we can get a clear determination of what has happened at Montague Harbor and what the potential impact of said activity will be. Producer, let's go to a break. You're on the clock with Aaron. Pause. You see, the caller just came in. Let's go to the call and then we'll go to the break. Good morning, caller. Sorry we missed you, caller. We're going to a break. Call back after the break. The number is to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
In 2023, over 9 million visitors came to the Bahamas. This year, we plan on shattering that record. That's why tourism is everyone's business.
Paradise is not only found in Nassau, but throughout our 16-island destination.
No matter who you are or what you do, we all have a part to play in our tourism industry.
This is our country.
These are our islands.
This is our home.
That's why tourism is everyone's business.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Pen. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassau Guardian's Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over, and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, call the Nassau Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassau Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the
Attention Bahamas, embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter 1. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassau Guardian's Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over and our back to school supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season of all.
Advertisers, call the Nassau Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassau Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Guardian Media Group has your ticket to Paris.
On your marks, get set.
Join the Guardian Media Group, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio 96.9, and Hot 91 FM, and follow Team Bahamas from Paradise to Paris. Live comprehensive updates on Team Bahamas every day during the 2024 Summer Olympics. We are your ticket to Paris. Nassau Guardian Sports Editor Sheldon Longley will be trackside, bringing you closest to our athletes in their quest for gold. From Paradise to Paris. The 2024 Summer Olympics, live updates, brought to you by gold sponsors, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Jimmy Wines and Spirits, distributors of Refreshing Sands Beer, silver sponsor Executive Motors, and the bronze sponsors Hertz Rent-A-Car, Nagico Insurance, Bay Street Garage, Nassau Motors, your Chevy and Honda dealers, and New Life Natural. Let the games begin.
Stephen Gardner alongside 100-meter hurdler Devin Charlton.
This is Guardian Radio 90 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Mr. Newry, you talking about Olympics in your hour?
I am. I want to delve into that and voice some frustrations.
I can save some of my Olympic commentary for your hour. Is that possible?
That's good.
Absolutely. So, in the theme of emancipation, here is this thing that popped up, Mr. Newry. I realized that the Americans are still talking about banning TikTok in America.
Still? It's idle talk. That's part of their culture now. TikTok is a phenomenon which American, I know I'll go far as Westerners, because Bohemians love TikTok too, is enjoying. And what they need to do is have a competition, create a alternative to TikTok, and have Americans move to that platform.
So what the, I guess, the American government has said is that what they want is for, the TikTok main body, the corporation, to allow an American-owned company to purchase, like, TikTok USA, quote-unquote.
Are they bullying?
Right, or are they going to ban it in the U.S.?
Americans will find a way to move around these things.
I mean, it's just an app. Yeah. Another app will arise and do the same thing.
Yeah.
The question is, what is it that America is attempting to do by banning the app or, you know, restricting ownership?
You mean what they're afraid of?
Well, that's your answer, what they're afraid of. Mm. What do you think they're afraid of?
I do not know. This seems to be beyond me. I only can speculate. and think it's some kind of national security thing. But if it was national security, it was going to be urgent. They would have done something about it. So it can't be national security.
So here's one thing I learned, right? We go through a number of processes or steps to protect our privacy. We get VPNs, right, which is like a virtual something something. Mm-hmm. So you could hide your internet address, right? Mm-hmm. We get all kinds of clone accounts. You could get incognito window open on your page so it doesn't capture your search history, all of these things. But what I learned is that American software producers, like, they have to work in partnership with the U.S. government.
That's what they say about Facebook.
They have to leave a back door open, right? Like, in terms of security, like, they have to leave a back door open. But companies not owned by Americans are not necessarily under that same obligation. It's something like that. I'm paraphrasing wildly here, right? And so, there's, like you said, national security concern, I guess, that foreign entities or the company that does own TikTok, there's a fear that they are directly linked to the Chinese government, right? And so that means that the Chinese government will have access to everything these people post. First of all, anything you put on the internet, everybody has access to. Mm. Anybody could get it, right? Like, with the right hacking tools, anybody could get access to what it is you put on the internet. Once it's there forever.
Forever.
And you cannot scrub it. But a number of people are indicating that the U.S. government is concerned about tools, apps as powerful as TikTok, because an app that gives the average person the power to share information is an app that makes it more difficult for the government to maintain a particular narrative. People don't just have to go to the government-approved sources for information. Information is more easily accessible. And so here's a question for us. If the United States of America bans TikTok in America, will that mean that Bahamians can't get access to, like, what does that mean for the Bahamas? Where do we sit in the TikTok realm? Because there's a TikTok Bahamas, but there's only 107 of us. Mm-hmm. And don't count me, I just joined it. I ain't really a part of the crew yet. But what does it mean for us if the U.S. says that it's banning TikTok in America? What does it mean for us traveling to America? Now, when you're filling out your visa forms and your application and various application forms, employers and governments want to know what your social media handles are, so they could access what you are saying on social media and the content that you're asking, and I imagine to make a determination in their decision, right? And so it leads me to think, are we really free? Mm. What does emancipation mean to us? What does emancipation mean to us if in 2024 we are actively and excitedly engaging in these apps and systems that completely and totally restrict our freedom? For instance, last week, Pumpkin Eater called and asked, he said, like, he's mad because he can't watch Olympics on NBC, right? And I explained to him, it's nothing we could do about it. This is a global political position. You are not American, and so you do not have access to their content. Doesn't matter how American you feel. Doesn't matter how many Miami immigration stamps you have in your passport. It doesn't matter. You are not American, and so you are not entitled to accessing the same media and content that Americans are entitled to accessing. And does this alter or shift our thoughts on emancipation in any way? What does it mean to be free to do whatever you want? A couple of weeks ago, a caller came in and made a point that I love making. Like God's people get the governments they deserve. That's why I govern myself. Mm. Right? And I just want us to have more conversations about what it means to be free. And in particular, what fascinates me is, how do we produce a citizen that understands the rights and responsibilities of freedom, of emancipation?
Who's responsible for educating, preparing the citizen. I mean, the key word there, the citizen, right? To say, well, this is a better Bahamian, which will benefit the Bahamas.
All right. So ultimately, the individual is responsible for educating themselves, right? We do know we have rules and laws in place that say the children must be in school up to what, age 14, age 15, right? It's school leaving age. You got to be in school. And so this, we see that the state acknowledges a duty of care to students to at the very least create an environment in which it is likely that they will become educated. Now, the problem with that is that you are then, though, sort of stuck with whatever the state determines is the education that they should receive. Right? It's fascinating because in that space where the state acknowledges that education is necessary for young people, they also control what that education is. And it's almost as if in that space they create citizens that no longer care about educating themselves. Right? To me, this Pumpkin Eater, you worried about whether NBC care in the Olympics? This is what I want to talk about. This is what is exciting to me. I'll give you an example. Friday, I think it's Friday or Thursday, driving home on Bernard Road, right in front of LW Young, here an ambulance approaching. The vehicles in front of me, like me, we all pulled, we heading eastbound, we all pulled to the side, off the road, to ensure that the ambulance could travel safely past. The vehicle behind me, though, decides that they ain't following the proper road procedure when an emergency vehicle is approaching. And so they do not pull on the side of the road, and they almost take off my side mirror. So I sit in there hot, right? I hot because y'all in front of L.W. Young, this is traditionally where car accidents take place because y'all don't give two hoots about them little poor children. You just presume all of them poor and Haitian, and you don't care, right? Second of all, because it's an emergency vehicle. Why wouldn't you have respect for everybody around you and just do what you're supposed to do? But what was troubling for me is the plate. When the vehicle passed me, I realized the plate say EL. That means that's an Eleuthera plate. And I realized something, Mr. Newry, that people don't understand. They're driving on a family island road, like the road that goes from your house to the main road on the family island, is different from driving on the main road on a family island, which is different from driving on Kelly Lane in Johnson Road, which is different from driving on Johnson Road, which is different from driving on the road, which is different from driving on Shirley Street, which is different from driving on the highway. See, I realize that the vast majority of us, they have not even thought about that. That you can't drive the same in a two-lane highway like JFK the way that you do on Kelly Lane or on Queen Elizabeth Highway on a family island. That you don't realize that you have to govern and moderate your behavior. You can't drive in the parking lot of the mall the same way you drive on the airport road. And that's why the conversations about emancipation could be far more exciting to me than the conversations about the Olympics. I'm here for the conversations about the Olympics. But the same excitement, the same passion could be derived from interrogating the things that are killing us. I supposed to talk about them three road crashes. Just unnecessary carnage on the road. And I realized that the three stories in today's paper still do not cover the images that I saw yesterday of what appears to be a two-car collision, the black car on its side, and passerbys attempting to extract a victim from the vehicle. What's the point of being free if we refuse to govern ourselves? And when we read this last text, producer, and let's get the show closed. Last week, I saw a speedboat doing a half wheelie in the harbor. The boat was white with an orange-yellow splash on the side, maybe 24 feet or so. And I was confused, because it did this half wheelie in the area where people swim. I think the ministry needs to look at the practice of allowing boats to sink anchor willy-nilly at Montague outside of the built-for-purpose dock. Their text is somebody's falling down on the job because people are regularly fishing at public beaches. In fact, I was at Clifton Heritage enjoying the beach in front of the campsite that we paid for, to look to the, I think, the east, and see people who had snuck onto Jaws Beach that the Clifton Heritage owns, snuck onto Jaws Beach to go fish and disturb the safety of the people who paid to be on the beach. Anyway, producer, one last quick text before we go. I think TikTok is a national security concern for the American government. The app is owned by a Chinese company. They are afraid that the app could be used as a Trojan horse on the devices of key national security related personnel. I agree with you, because the U.S. wants to have the only Trojan horse in American software. In the Bahamas, we don't have that concern. What do you mean in the Bahamas, we don't have that type of national security concern? I remember clearly Patricia DeVoe proudly announcing that Parliament was very happy with the gift of TVs, electronics, and other recording devices in the private meeting rooms of Parliament. China was happy to also offer their expertise to install said devices. In the Bahamas, access to TikTok is safe. Access to information, maybe not so much. Producer, whenever you play that music, I can stop talking. It's been a pleasure to have you with me, Nuri, and thank you for allowing me to join you in the second hour. You've been On the Clock with Aaron Green on this Monday, the 29th of July, 2024. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM and CA Nuri is up next. Through the